Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to a star-studded episode of the Seattle Restaurant Podcast. Across from me, someone that just told me a great story about being drugged at a Wu-Tang show. Dave Storm, how you doing, Dave? Was I not supposed to talk about that?
No, man, you're good. You're good.
we'll save that for another episode.
Yeah.
But how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. I've had a really busy week in my personal life and my business life.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, man, I feel... feel excited and energized.
Fuck yeah. We put tickets for the Bear on sale, which I would say
I
want to put this on the top of the show just because my goal is to just sell out so I can stop worrying about promotion and just focus on the dinner. So yeah, if you didn't hear, April 7th at Dreamland in Fremont, we're doing a Bear pop-up based on the TV show. I am truly very excited about it because there's a I can't talk about it too much, but
well, it looks like you guys are about three quarters of the way sold out, right?
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, we are so there. I will say this. Yeah, let me just start off with this. Like, I honestly, it's $150 is a lot of fucking money in February, March. Like, it's a lot of money. If this happened and it came on, I probably couldn't afford tickets personally. So like, but what we did was we made the budget first, and we said, hey, we're gonna pay ourselves a pretty fair salary, because all the events I've done, the Heathers, Damon, Denali, it's been like $100, you know, just for 40 hours of work, because that's just the way the budget works. Because when you're doing a pop up dinner, you got to pay for menus, okay. You got to pay for all these things that you don't think about.
How many tickets are available?
80.
Okay.
So, and I think there's 26 left right now.
Cool.
I understand it's a high ticket price, and so I thought we'd sell like 4 or 5 the first day, and we sold 40. And I was really stoked. So thank you, Seattle, for that. It really gives me a lot of encouragement and confidence. So thanks for that. And yeah, so buy tickets available at exploretalk.com/dreamland. Let's not waste any time in introducing our guest. All the way from Bainbridge, my man, Alex Jackson. How you doing, brother?
Doing well, thank you so much.
And you're not even from Bainbridge, you're from West Seattle. But
yeah.
The restaurant you work for is what's the restaurant you work at?
I am the chef de cuisine at Seabird.
Okay. And where is that?
That is over on Bainbridge Island.
And what is Seabird like?
It's cool, man. It's like a hyper-focused little spot. It's like a seafood and veg spot, you know?
It's funny. I like, Dave, how many times do you get people that come in town? It's like, I want a really good seafood spot.
Oh, tons.
And I feel like until I, you know, Seabird, I didn't like, I'm like, yeah, there's some places in Pike Place, but like, you know, I don't know. Like, but I would say I start saying Seabird. But anyway, so talk about your menu a little bit.
Sure. You know, it's pretty tight. It's like 15 dishes. And yeah, like I said, it's like really, really focused on local produce and local fish. Like Brendan, you met Brendan.
Yep,
yeah, he's the man.
Yep.
What up, Brendan?
Yeah. What's up, Chef B? he has a ton of connects and is like really, really fastidious in his sourcing, mm-hmm. which is really rad.
Awesome.
It's really cool to be a part of that. And we work with like a bunch of specialized fishermen and farmers. And it's just like, that's how the menu is. It's like informed by all of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like people just being like, "Yo, I got a handful of nettles." And we're like, "Cool, we'll take them all."
Yeah. Okay.
What are we gonna do with them?
Over here on my left, on the other side of the industry, we got Meg from The Stranger. Meg, how are we doing today?
I'm doing very well.
Also my neighbor.
Tough just commute, kinda, yeah.
Yeah.
Climbing over my neighbor's fence. So
one person from West Seattle, one person jumped my fence. Meg, who are you? Who do you write for? What do you do?
I'm Meg Van Hagen. I usually write for The Stranger. Usually food. I started out as a film writer, actually.
Oh, no kidding.
I was a film intern in 2001 at The Stranger, but
and
I care less about film these days and a lot more about food.
So you've been around The Stranger for about
23 years.
Wow.
Now. But
started
as
film.
As a freelancer, yeah.
Got it. Right.
And I often write for Eater Seattle also and a bunch of other random
So spots. When did that switch happen? How early in your career?
I was interning for Sean Nelson, who was the film editor, and my best friend, whose name is Bess Lovejoy, was interning for Charles Mudette as the books intern, and Sean needed a film intern, and Bess was like, it's great over here. I was interning at the Seattle Weekly, and
okay.
She's like, that shit sucks. Come over here.
Okay.
And I was like, strong point. Well, so I went over.
Is the Seattle Weekly even around
No,
anymore?
It died. Well, it is. It's actually technically a blog. It
okay.
got bought by Sound Publishing. It's a long, hairy story.
I just realized I hadn't seen it in like 12 years.
It's a blog now, and it has articles about like WA DOT construction and like cannabis laws. And that's
Sick.
It.
Nice.
Cisco
it's
Garney.
Like a vestigial, it's like a vestigial limb that doesn't
yeah,
do
yeah.
anything.
Right on.
And so how did the transition to food happen?
I moved to New York City. Okay. I followed a man to New York City. I left here and worked for Billboard for a while. And then came back. And I think I just got asked. I think I actually got asked at Eater first because I had a buddy who was needed freelancers at Eater. And then I was like, I'd rather be writing like F-bomb laden personal opinions in the first person and not the third person with a stranger. So I just
started that reflects
pitching
your personality a little bit more?
Yeah. And it had, they had a different editor. They had Chris Rizal by then, who was not the editor when I was there. It was Dan Savage when I was there. And so I just wrote him a note and was like, hey, you don't know me, but I used to write for you guys. I'd rather write about food.
Other than loving food, do you have any experience in the restaurant industry?
I'm a total fraud. I've never worked in a restaurant. I'm a server. I'm a Seattle person. I grew up here. Like, I turned 18 in 1998, so it was .com boom, and you could just get it.
That's cool.
I'm an absolute fraud.
Well, I think, you know, that's what the readers want.
I'm one of the readers.
Right, exactly. Telling them, like, where they should go.
No, all my friends are chefs now, but that was not the case when I started. Yeah.
Sure, I don't think you're a fraud. I think you know, different backgrounds and different experiences matter. Like, you know, something we hear a lot is, like, people are like, oh, I've never heard from a chef's perspective, but you're also probably a lot smarter person than I am, and you can tell, like, I mispronounce names and mispronounce restaurants all the time. So there's a place for both.
Big time.
Yeah.
It's big city.
Yeah.
Now.
Meg, so other than Stranger, who else do you write for?
Oh, God, I've written for Alice Obscura. I've done a lot of history, weird history and weird travel. I'm interested in geography. I like to travel because I like to eat. So I've done, you know, articles about, like, there's a Iran-Contra plane in the jungles of Costa Rica that is a restaurant now, and you can go there and drink soursop margaritas or whatever.
I've seen
that. It was cool. It was actually really cool.
What are some of your favorite traveling experience dining?
Oh, man. We went to a North Korean restaurant in Dubai. My boyfriend likes to do miles runs where you get the cheapest possible flight that goes the furthest possible away from your house. So we got these like balls cheap tickets to Dubai. And he's like, let's go to Dubai. And I was like,
is that like a last minute thing? You're just like watching
it? Yeah, I think he got two for $1,100 or something like that.
Whoa.
And I was like, all right, let's go. I think we'd gotten in a fight and he was trying to make it up to me. So he's like, let's go to Dubai.
Take you to Dubai.
Baby.
I bet there's some weird shit to eat there. So we went to a restaurant that was owned by the North Korean government.
Okay.
And they had specifically North Korean cuisine.
What is that like?
It was not too different from South Korean cuisine, but there were dishes that they served.
You probably just steal everything from other.
Ooh, yeah. But the interesting, the food was okay. They did like those cold buckwheat noodles that I really enjoy that you can also get at a South Korean restaurant.
Yeah.
But they did a whole stage show with ladies with accordions, and like there's a video behind them with blooming flowers. And the whole time we're like, there's cameras everywhere. Like, and we're big fat Americans. Like, they know that we're not. They could tell, I'm sure. And so my partner Steven and I, before we went in, I was like, you know, they're going to have their eyeballs on us because we're their enemy. And it is literally owned by the government of North Korea.
Right.
It's like we were in an exclave in North Korea. And I was like, if they ask, we're going to say we're from the Netherlands because my dad's family's from the Netherlands. And we agreed on this. We're like, okay, we're going to do that. And the server right away asked us, he's very cheerful and smiling. And he's like, hi, he's just answering your questions, just like, happy to be here. And she's like, so where are you from? And he goes, the United States. And he looked at me and he goes, of America. And that was, I don't know, 8 years ago. We still make this joke when we say something stupid that we didn't mean to say. Or like,
sounds like he's a great poker player.
He told him, He told him where we were from. And the lady, like, you saw her hesitate. She was like, I'm sure Americans go in there all the time. But she was like, and then, like, she went in the back. And I'm like, well, we're going to die.
And told everybody.
Yeah.
How was it to dine and, you know, stay in Dubai? Was it expensive when you got there?
Not too expensive.
Not too crazy.
I live in a very expensive city, so it was fine. It wasn't too expensive. It was incredibly hot, and we like to walk, and you just can't do that in Dubai. It was like 107 degrees at 7 a.m., and we tried to walk like 5 blocks to a coffee shop. No fucking way.
Brutal.
It was hard. It was hard.
Las Vegas.
Yeah. It was like, we actually made that joke. We're like, it's like if someone saw a movie about Las Vegas and had never been there.
Yeah.
And was like, we're going to make Las Vegas with no drugs and no drinking.
I guess that's our Dubai.
Yeah. Although there is drugs and drinking just in the hotels.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Alex, nice. What is your background? How'd you get into this industry?
I decided to be a cook when I was like 15 and just kept doing it.
Yeah. Where did you start?
I'm from Alaska originally.
Okay.
Yeah.
What part?
Yeah. Oh, down in the south central part.
Nice.
Soldotna is what it's called. Yeah.
And how'd your journey end up at Seabird?
Man. So we moved from, we were living in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. when our first child was born. Just trying to figure it out. We have a bunch of connects and roots in Portland, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
So we go, we'll go check it out there. Went back to Portland. Pandemic.
Yep.
Portland just like,
yeah,
you know, crashed and burned. Yep. Like, I mean, everybody did. But yeah. That, I feel like that city really got smoked.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, what are we going to do? We're moving back to California. I don't know. We always loved Seattle. We love the Northwest. And I met a dude named Brian Clevenger, who has a restaurant group called General Harvest.
Brian's great.
Yeah, he's the man. Also another
anyway,
dude.
I can't afford to move back to San Francisco. Let's move to Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle.
We're about five years behind.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
So, yeah, I met up with Brian, became his culinary director, and I did that for about 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I got in touch with Brendan. I was just looking for a change of pace, and it was, like, pretty serendipitous.
When you lived in Alaska, were you cooking kind of like you cook now? Because I know there's a lot of crab in it, you know, a lot of great shrimp and seafood.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the shorelines of Alaska are fucking
where
magical.
We get a lot of it.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we grew up, I mean, hunt, you have to play outside up there. So, yeah, a lot of hunting and fishing, and my mom always had a big garden.
Yep.
But I, you know, not to wax, like, that wasn't like a... You know, I never used that. Like, you know, so many people are always like, you know, I'd go out and I'd feel the dirt.
Right,
my mother's broccoli. It's like, you know, it was never, I didn't have that.
You're like, no, man, I walked to Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Like a normal kid.
Yeah. I certainly appreciate it now. You know, it's like looking back, it's like, actually, that's really fucking cool. My mom did that. But
totally.
I was not like, I mean, this is why, like, this is what I need to do.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so now you're Chef's Cuisine, you're living with Seattle, you're taking the ferry. What's your schedule like?
It's, we work, I'm there Thursday through Sunday.
Yep.
So I got four pretty long days, but I leave my house around.
Sorry, just the tapping.
Oh, the tapping. Sorry,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. I wasn't doing that because I love,
I was like,
I was trying
to
be moral support.
Dude.
Yeah,
you're doing a great job, buddy.
Yeah, man.
For listeners,
killing it.
You know, if you hear, the tapping picks up a lot, so he was tapping, I held his hand without saying, hey, don't tap. I just held his hand for like a couple minutes.
It was nice.
And he held it back, so
it was
very
really
sweet.
Sorry.
So you're open Thursday through Sunday.
Right? Yeah, Thursday through Sunday.
And so, what's that? Because you have two kids now.
Yeah, I got two of them.
And so how's that work, being a Chef de Cuisine with the hours and yeah, what's
and
your
the
schedule?
Ferry ride.
Yeah, it's, it can be intense.
Yeah.
I'm really thankful.
Because right now you have a 3-year-old and a 7?
3 and 7-year-old. Yeah, so usually I'm strolling. I'm like in the door, my house, usually around 11:30, which isn't the worst as far as like restaurant life goes. But I'm up by 7 at the very latest, depending totally on the kids. Yeah. But
nice commute, though.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
How long is the ferry ride?
It's about 30 minutes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good time just to think. Like we were talking earlier about like doing dishes. I was thinking time, like fairy time. I got sent a lot. I don't know if you guys saw this. This is Instagram thing that's blowing up right now. Just, you know, another like, oh, the dining in Seattle is so expensive. It's pointing out like how a pretzel is $20 and blah, blah, blah. And a lot of people sent it to me. I'm like, I'm not going to talk about this. Like, because like, yeah, I get it. A lot of people think, people in Seattle think food is expensive and it is sometimes and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, and our argument from the podcast is, you know, kind of what we've said is like, you know, if you think food's too expensive, it's like, it's, you know, you're thinking that the employees make too much money. But this is one of those things with the parenting thing that it's a little more raw, because as a single parent and someone that works as much as I do, or someone like you that has to work the hours you do with a kid, it's there's a lot of balance and there's a lot of choices you have to make. When I own Bread and Circuses, I miss a lot of birthdays. I miss a lot of, you know, a lot of holidays, a lot of milestones for my kids. And that's just the way the restaurant industry is. It's like you can't, there's no one to tag me out, you know. And so also there's the daycare thing, where it's like you constantly have to do this balance of like, I got to afford the same daycare that someone that works at Amazon can afford, because that's how things work, you know. Like, and so I spend $1,300 a month on daycare. Like, so it's one of those things where, you know, when people say it's too expensive or whatever, it's like you also got to put the cost of living into things and the sacrifices we're making. You know, I can complain all day about like me not making enough and not charging what I'm supposed to be charging, but like you also have to look at it from the like what you're losing as a chef. It's like it's kind of a broken record, but yeah, like we miss birthdays and you know, I don't know, like are you still kind of in that route, or have you been able
to? Yeah, I think it's excuse me. I think now it's like just finding a way, like, yeah, you mentioned, like, I think creating the balance, like, mm-hmm. for the most part, I think especially now in this industry, I feel like people are, like, accepting boundaries, yeah. like, not as a negative.
Yep.
Because, like, when I was coming up, and it was like, no, you weren't, you're fucking working.
yeah, yeah, you know? Exactly, yep.
Oh, chef, like, I broke my hand, like, all right.
Yep.
Service starts at 5.
Yeah, yeah.
you know? It's like,
become ambidextrous.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can saute with your left, dude. Here we go. It's like, but now I think it's like, hey, as long as everyone's up, knows
yeah,
what's up.
We are
like,
maturing. We are,
you know, and
we,
I think people are like, yeah. I mean, me especially, I think like most people are. It's like, yo, Friday is my kid's birthday, yeah. and I would love to be there. I'm going to find some coverage or whatever. Yeah. Like most people are like, yeah, we'll pick up the slack. We got
yeah.
you.
It's
like
it's,
vice
it's,
versa.
It's different now. Yeah.
I think it's much more, I think people are into it.
Yeah.
People don't want you to miss that.
Yeah, I was going to say, know? I was always lucky enough to work for places like Tom Douglas or Portage Bay Cafe where they encouraged me. Like, they kind of like, hey, Dave, why don't you work like 6 to 2? That way you're home to get the girls off the school bus.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
help
awesome.
Them with homework. And, yeah, they were very – my me being a dad was on their mind.
Yeah,
you know?
That's awesome.
And they tried
it's
that.
Huge.
Yeah.
And more people are doing that, which is, like, really rad.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I you know, kind of talking, you know, we brought up some writers and stuff in the past and, you know, how I don't think they've been fair about the way they've written about stuff and you know, what's their background, stuff like that. Meg, I feel like you're more of a friend of restaurants. It seems like, oh, the restaurant people love you. What is your point of view as far as like
what's your formula?
What's your formula?
I am a freelancer and I can say whatever I want.
True.
She's saying
and other food writers
you.
Are salary and they can't say whatever they want. And they are given assignments.
Sure. Okay, that's fair.
Often for corporate restaurants or restaurants that are owned by a dude who owns 6 or 7 other restaurants.
Right.
They cover what their editors tell them to cover and I get to pitch. And a lot of my pitches get rejected.
Sure.
But the ones that you end up seeing that see the light of day yeah. are from my brain and not from the Bleth & Company.
What are some of the things you've written recently that you're super stoked about?
Well, right now I'm writing about Sapon. Everyone wants me to shut the fuck up about Sapon, yeah. but I'm not going to.
Where is it? Plug it.
So Sapon is just opened February 1st. It is on 74th and Greenwood, like kitty corner from Ken's Market. Mm-hmm. It's next to Herkimer and the fire station. And it is Corinna Long, who owns Oliver's Twist, whose mm-hmm. family is from Cambodia, and he's doing Cambodian diaspora food. So they're doing some traditional Cambodian dishes mixed up with, like, I don't know, he and his cousin Darwin is the chef at Oliver's Twist, which is a cocktail bar.
Yep.
And they're really into American fast food as well. Like, they grew up here, of course.
Sweet.
So they're doing, like, awesome. You know, pork belly. They call it the McCrib. And they're both really into hip-hop, so they're they're doing a crung curry smash burger, which is delicious. I'm not really – I don't get a boner about a smash burger generally. I don't fucking care. But it's the mix of the lemongrassy, garlicky,
sure.
chili, crung curry with the American cheese and the mayo and the pickles. It's killer.
What, yeah, what do you know what times they're open?
They open at 5. I think it's 5 to 10.
How many times have you been there? I feel like I've seen
like
you
a
there.
Million. Well, so I met Karuna when he was trying to open it, and he was on my to-do list mm-hmm. to talk with, but it was pandemic hours and they were having trouble staffing, and so I would go down there and they weren't open, which is not his fault.
Right.
So we just kept not connecting, and then when he emailed me, he's like, hey, I would love it if you came to my restaurant. I'm like, I was going to go down there today like the fourth time. So I started interviewing him for this story that I wrote a year ago when he was trying to open Sapon, and we just became buddies. As I interviewed him, and his staff is marvelous as well. So they finally opened in February, and I helped paint. You know, like, I just the folks. I like the folks.
You're part of the place.
That's
it's
awesome.
It's too late for me. So, yes, I'm plugging them, but it's not only because I think they're fantastic. I think he's doing something incredibly unique for Seattle, and I think the story of diaspora cuisine is fascinating. And I think you have to go to LA to get stuff like this.
Right.
There's nothing like it nearby.
And what else are you championing for right now?
You know, I went to a place called Indian Nepali Kitchen the other day. Mm-hmm. I posted a million stories. It's on 95th and Aurora. It mm-hmm. used to be called Thai Thai. The space was a Thai restaurant called Thai Thai. That I never went to. It's like next to the Crown Inn, which is a real shitty, skeezy motel.
Yeah.
And nice. I had heard. So I had a couple, yeah, no, it's what you want. That's exactly what I want to cover is like a place attached to the Crown Motel on 95th.
It's kind of like when the Best Western
has a restaurant
attached.
Yeah. I love a chicken shack on the highway. That's who I want to help anyway. They just opened in October or November. And my buddy, I have a friend couple, one's paleo and one's vegetarian, and they can never eat anywhere together, but they had so many veggie dishes for him, and they had lots of, like, lamb boti kebabs and stuff. So she told me to go, and I was like, you're paleo, you're not a food person, I don't trust you. But then I went, and it's fantastic. They have a huge menu. It's a pretty small space. It's 10 or 12 tables. They have Nepali dishes, which I'm a white Seattleite, and I don't know a lot about Nepali food. And they had they did something called Kaja set, which was you could choose your protein, and I got goat. If there's goat on the menu, I'm getting it.
Yeah, I love goat.
And they had flattened rice, which I'd not had, which is called baji or also chira, and they pound the rice and flatten and then dry it.
Okay.
And it looks like those Idahoan mashed potato flakes a little bit, and then it rehydrates when you put the curry on it.
Huh. Nice.
Really kumini papadum. Like, I just really enjoyed the whole meal. I was really impressed. Also, my buddy, Mark DeJoy, who also writes for Eater Seattle, he wanted to order the chow mein, and I was like, what the fuck, bro? Why would you, you can get that Panda Express. Why would you come all the way out here and fucking order chow mein? I'm so glad he did, because it was Nepali chow mein. It was a totally different flavor profile. It was
different monster.
Turmericy and garlicky, very fragrant, yellow chow mein, and they put about 60 different veggies in it, and I think it had, we got the house one, so it had.
What kind of broth?
I think it was dry. It was like a stir-fried noodle. Yeah. It was incredibly greasy. But I posted a story about it, and I was like, this chow mein is perfectly greasy, exactly what you want. And I noticed the restaurant shared all my stories except that one. They said the chow mein was super greasy. And I'm like, no, it's what you want. Like, if they're listening, that's a compliment. Like, that's
a good
what
way.
You want.
In a good way.
So we're like, we have to eat it all because it's not going to be good later. It's going to be all sodden. And it had beef. It had crab. It had chicken. It had cabbage, mushroom. Oh. And it had the surimi. Yeah. It said crab, but it was actually surimi. Okay. But anyway, it had like 90 million things in it. Huge mountain of it. And it was like $18 or something. Ton of food. I'm really impressed with that spot. I want to go back with a group.
I'm in.
Yeah.
What time do they open?
Let's go.
All go.
See you soon.
I love your writing because it's so witty, and I feel like me and you are similarly sarcastic and stuff like that. And just with all the good stuff, I remember for the Eater thing, like we were next to each other.
Oh, yeah,
like,
we were both interviewed at the year end wrap up of Eater Seattle.
And I forgot, it was like Moto Pizza, right? Where like I was talking about how much I like Moto Pizza, and then right under it's like, I'm so sick of like, you know, Moto Pizza.
Layaway stuff. Pizza, I talked some shit.
Layaway.
I didn't say which pizza place.
I got 15 people that sent me a screenshot.
Everybody loved that. I did too.
And I love that. What is something you're not a big fan of right now?
I'm fucking sick of fried chicken. I'm so tired of fried chicken. Fried chicken's delicious, don't get me wrong. There's a high profit margin. Yep. Like, it's cheap to make and you can charge $20 for 3 pieces of chicken. Whatever you want to do, that's cool. I'm not mad at anyone who's profiting off fried chicken. I'm just tired of eating it.
I
like it.
That's an ingredient a lot of people that aren't like, where's your chicken from? Yeah. Like, they just don't give a fuck.
No, it's fried. It's fried.
Yeah, it's fried. That's all they care
fried
about.
Fried chicken, don't care.
Yeah. And let's be honest, most of the owners of fried chicken restaurants in Seattle are terrible people.
Sure.
Not gonna name anyone.
Sure. I'm fucking sick of it.
Hey.
I think hot dogs are having a moment right now. And again, I love a fucking hot dog.
Oh man.
But
I've been in talks with hot dog people.
I like
hot dog
them,
right now.
But they're becoming the fried chicken. I think it's
hot dogs?
Yeah, I think
other than Bigfoot longs, like who's doing cool hot dogs?
I feel like every little pub has, like, we put fried onions. Can you believe it? Or French onion dip or something. I'm not going to name names.
Speaking of assholes, this is going to be a fun one. So you're
sitting right here, man.
You're not a fan of our former boss, Josh Henderson. I saw you post something. I was like, let's talk about the podcast. And I think this is an important thing to talk about because, I don't want to get super political, but I do think it's important to find this balance of like, well, let's just talk about it. Josh Henderson, he was my boss at Skillet, Dave Storm's boss at Skillet. And then during quarantine, just like everyone went a little nutty and overly political. And he is an anti-vaxxer and he posted some stuff that a lot of people hated started boycotting. And Meg, I'll let you kind of what was your opinion on it?
I think it's bad to be an anti-vaxxer.
Sure, 100%.
I'm a vaxxer.
Yep. Yeah, you're pro-vaxxer.
In comparison.
Pro-vaxxer.
Yeah, pro-vaxxer.
I'm very proud vaxxer. Vaccinated against COVID so that I don't fucking die.
You vaxxed it?
Yep. Of course, yeah.
All right, good.
But, so a lot of people went straight.
We're all alive right now. Weird coincidence. Yeah, vaccinated. It's super weird.
But, okay, so we don't have to get into politics about the vaccine part. We all, at the table, we all agree.
We're all vaccinated.
I don't think it's political.
I think what happened was, you know, you post this, and then
I think for some people
it's a political thing. And so a lot of people start boycotting The Burbs, which recently shut down. And a lot of people, when it shut down, were like, thank God, fuck those people. It was a couple things. It was the wage thing that we talked about. You're one of those people. And I think, like, you know, I guess when we were kind of dipping into cancer culture, like, you're happy that The Burbs shut down.
Sure. Yeah.
Because the owner is anti-vax.
Yeah. And he treated his employees like shit, and he had a million health code violations. There's no hand washing stations in the Montlake truck, like all kinds of problems. But like a lot of his rhetoric online was like, I think ivermectin is a good potential cure for COVID-19, and I'm not telling anyone to do. There's like, he has a bunch of loony IG stories about ivermectin, and I'm like, fuck this shit, man. Like,
I guess
this is why, like, I have a dead aunt who listened to her husband and wouldn't get vaccinated, and she's fucking dead because she listened to people like Josh Anderson.
I'm sorry, that sucks.
So he can fuck himself. Time. Sorry.
I guess my question is like, so when is it connected? Was it not connected? Like, you know, so is any owner of a restaurant that's anti-vaxxer, would you wish for them to be shut down? Or like when is it slight? Like, if the food's better, is it like, I don't care that much?
I don't really care if his restaurant is open or not. Like, I'm not like, he deserves to have his livelihood shut down, but I'm not going to cry for a guy who could potentially get people killed. Like, I'm just not sad for him.
Sure.
That's fair. Fine. I'm not like, close his restaurant down. Yeah. He's a bad person. But that's okay with me if he's not out there spreading this shitty rhetoric. That's okay. Like, that's fine.
Did you ever have the Burbs burger?
Yeah, it was fine.
I love that burger.
People love it because it's cheap. That's what they love about it. I love a lot of burgers. A lot of people who aren't out there trying to get people killed accidentally make great burgers.
Like, who are some of the ones you'd like to plug?
I just plugged them at Sapon. They have that Krung Smash burger. I've been hanging out in Tacoma a lot, and there's a lot of great food in Tacoma. My partner has a house in Tacoma.
Okay.
He lives in Tacoma, and I live here, so
I'm
down there a lot, and...
I went to Tacoma. I got some great, like, I went to Howdy Bagel and stuff like that, but I feel like I didn't get a ton. What are some of the other Tacoma spots you're really into?
I really like the Valley. Valley's just a dive bar down by the Tacoma Dome. It's in kind of a shitty area, which I'm always attracted to.
Tacoma's fun.
Tacoma's a party.
It's happening.
Tacoma's Seattle in 1998, for sure.
Yeah, it's seriously
happening
right
now.
Seattle.
Alex, what are some of your spots in Tacoma?
I don't get down there very often. They got this really cute waterfront.
Mm-hmm.
We take the kids. And my boy Roger Weatherhead.
Yeah, I know Roger.
He's the man. Together.
He's so. I feel like I'm saying that a lot.
He's got one of the prettiest beards.
What is the name of?
I just read his name somewhere. Did I mean
Asado?
Oh yeah,
he's at Asado.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about Asado. What's his role there? Is he exactly?
He's the chef.
Yeah.
Chef
owner or chef?
I think he's just the chef, as far as I know. I haven't got to go check it out.
We gotta.
But his spot it looks rad.
He's a hard worker. He's such a great chef.
He's a sweet guy.
Yeah,
such a nice dude. What a beard.
I also want to plug Field Bar, which is owned by Brian Hibbard, who was at Brimmer and Hilltap for a long time.
Yeah.
Probably a few other spots. He's got a beautiful farm to table casual spot on 6th Avenue over by Busybody, which is the dudes from Screwdriver Bar.
Yeah.
And the menu is done by Melissa Miranda from Musang. And it's like
dope.
Pacific Northwest garage rock themed, specifically the Sonics, who are from Tacoma. My dad was in a bunch of those bands. My dad was a drummer in all those bands in the 60s and 70s.
Oh, cool.
So it's like a lot of the records that we had in our house. And I like the aesthetic at Busybody a lot. But Field Bar is lovely. I just love to go there and get a big bowl of risotto with Dungeness on it. And they are also a bottle shop.
It just reminded me of that awesome venue in Tacoma back in the day called Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, right. I
haven't thought about that joint in a while.
Yeah.
It's kind of old school.
Yeah.
Alex, what's your West Seattle spots?
Man, we're all about like grab and go.
Yeah.
It's like our kids are still like eating anywhere. Mm-hmm. It's like they do not care.
Yeah, quarantine kids. So it's
big time.
Yeah.
Yeah, for real. Like, so they, it's like, it's just not fun. And like they don't see like the, they don't see the novelty of it, you know. It's like, all right, we're gonna like sit down and get pizza. They're like, sweet, like I'm getting up. I'm gonna go play over here. It's like, no, you gotta stay seated. Like, so it's not fun. Our spot.
Can I hold it and run?
Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you what I did with my quarantine kid was I would just take it out to dessert for a while.
Like, that's a good thought.
It's like get it because like because they're fucking crazy because they were born and then they weren't allowed to meet people or talk to people for a couple years. So that's how I got her acclimated. Now she's wonderful at restaurants and she loves going out there.
Nice.
I have a West Seattle plug. Yeah. I really like Buddha Ruxa.
Yeah, of course. We hit them up.
They have a great cow soy.
Grillbird is our spot. Grillbird is really it's like
Matt Parker is awesome.
Yeah, just gangster teriyaki. It's super good. No, it's like kids love it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's that's a weekly.
Yeah, Matt. Yeah.
That's a weekly game for us.
I y'all don't drive it or drink these days, but do you ever go to the Poggy Tavern? You ever been to that place?
I've never been. It's right across the street from one of Brian's spots.
Yeah, yeah.
It
yeah,
used
yeah.
to be another yeah, great, a, great music
place. It's rad. It looks like a spot I would hang.
That's a rad place.
Are you off the booze?
Yeah, over three years. Yeah.
Fucking yeah, hell yeah. I'm about to hit three in April.
Congratulations.
Did the industry do it to you? What made you get there?
I think you know, I mean, everyone has a really similar story. I feel like it's you know, all of us were all kind of misfits anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's like so encouraged mm-hmm. or it was.
Yeah.
For the longest time. It's like, you know, yeah, you work a lot and we don't pay you very much, but
you get breaking down, all the time.
You know, yeah. You know, come around 8 o'clock, you want a cocktail, like, we'll hook you up. It's like, all right, yeah. Like, yeah. And as a young dude, it's like, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah. Free drugs.
Yeah. It's like, dude, I'm here to rage. Like, this is but great. I work hard. I play that. Hard.
So yeah. Dudes would just, like, kiss you and slip.
Yeah. You just get an ecstasy slip to you.
Except it was your boss.
Yeah. You know, and I used to think it was just so awesome. It was, like, so, like, punk rock and rowdy. And I thrived and loved it.
Well, it kind of was.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
It is. You know, like, and I think there's still in it, and it is now.
But it was so self-deprecating and just like self-abusive, you know, like, God, man, I can't believe we all used to wake up like that and just fucking and brush everyone, it off and go did. Do it again.
Yeah. Everyone did it, you know, so it was like, it wasn't, you know, yeah, you wake up and you feel terrible. It's like, but everyone on the team does, and you're like, okay. It's like
camaraderie.
Yeah.
Bonding.
Yeah.
It's fucking Saturday. Like, let's go.
Muscle through and we can be drunk by 9.
Yeah. You know, I think, and then the quarantine, I think I was obviously already drinking for a lot of the wrong reasons.
Quarantine, what were you doing?
My best. We were living in, so we were in Portland. I was really lucky to be working with, it's called Chef's Table.
Yeah.
And they have a ton of restaurants. So the place that I helped open in Portland just before the pandemic struck was under their umbrella.
Okay.
And
I saw one of those open in Southwick Union back in the day over.
Yeah.
The Denny Triangle. I never went, but.
Yeah, they've.
Looked like it was kind of upper.
They got a pretty long reach.
All right.
Yeah, I think they got spots in California now too. But they were, you know, Portland, like I said, like during the pandemic, there's no real infrastructure. And the population of Oregon is so small anyway. So there was nothing happening. Yeah. So during the pandemic, I was just like, I talked to the big dog, Kurt at Chef's Table. I was like, man, I'll do whatever. And he was helping me. I was just like plugging holes in restaurants. Like I would work at their fast food spots. Yeah. I helped at their catering gig. And the whole time, just drinking super hard. Right. And like, already drinking for a lot of the wrong reasons, and I think my drinking turned into very much like I need this.
Yep.
This is like helping me a lot, and it doesn't. Obviously, it doesn't. It's making everything a lot worse. And I just woke up on the 20th of December. I was like, the hangover was like, and everything attached to it.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, and nothing terrible happened. Yeah. I didn't like get arrested. I didn't like start a fire. Like,
you didn't pull a Dave Storm. Yep.
Yeah. I didn't hurt anybody. I just woke up.
The realization.
And I was like, yeah, it was that moment. And I think people have them. And I was just like sitting there for a second.
If you're lucky, people have them.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
I was like, I think I'm done with this. And I talked to my wife and she's like, it's about fucking time.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was just like, man, I think, I don't think I want to do this anymore. And that was that. And
that's
like,
awesome. She obviously supported you.
That woman is a saint. I love you, Jen.
Nice.
I also love
Jen. I love Jen.
She's awesome.
I don't know Jen.
I will say, I remember when me and Ariana, my girlfriend, we quit drinking around the same time. And then I was the one that was like, honey, we got to quit smoking cigarettes. And she did not want to support me. She's like, fuck that. Give me something.
Yeah, I have to have something.
Yeah, I know. It took me a minute to stop smoking cigarettes, too. I was like, all right, I'll stop drinking first.
But yeah,
cigarettes are down the road.
There's nothing wrong with giving yourself like a little lead.
Yeah. Well, two vices at one time just seems like too much. Yeah.
How has getting sober helped your being a chef and your vision and your creativity?
Man, just across the board. I think interestingly enough too, I put myself in this mindset where like one of my favorite things to do was like I'd go to my bar over on Guerrero in San Francisco, like right when they opened.
Yeah.
And like sit down with a notebook. Eat a hot dog. Like, no joke. And it's like, you know, 10 a.m. And I was like, this is my inspiration. Yeah, yeah. And it was like, it would just come to me. And but now I feel like I'm way more in touch and in tune with just like what's going on. I think I'm much more collaborative too.
Because you got two other guys over there.
Yeah.
And, so a small team and you're working the line. How do you guys work out the menu? How do you come up with menu ideas?
It's pretty fluid.
Yeah.
I'm really.
How often do you change the menu?
All the time.
Yeah, yeah.
All the time. I think.
Is it just by what's coming in? Or?
Yeah, big time. And just like dishes kind of transition and come and go. And just because of its mega seasonal aspects, it's like it does change a lot.
What's a dish you're really stoked about right now?
Man, we got some cool stuff. I think like my favorite things are, you know, like really straightforward, but like I love Americana too. And I think especially if you're going to go to a place like Seabird, I feel like fine dining is really played out, but like a really nice.
Thank you for saying that.
Right? You know what I mean? I think that, yes, but like a really nice restaurant, you know, and Seabird is, but it's really comfortable. I feel like if you're going to go and spend your hard earned money, have some really rad wine and eat some food, it's like you're coming to hang out with us. Like you should be fed. So I feel like offering really cool technique with really awesome vegetables and fish, but like, keeping it fun is what's up. We do this crab toast, and it's crab toast. But it's going to fuck you up. It's like, it's a sourdough
loaf.
It's
the name of the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. It's a sourdough loaf, tons of butter, and it's like thick cut. We dress the crab with tomato.
It's crab toast. It's going to fuck you up.
Yeah. We've been hitting it with this mead, because we also have this commissary program, and they do all this. They're USDA. I'm sure Brendan's talked about this too. But it's like they do all their, like, tons of fermenting. Like just a bunch of really cool projects like all the time. Yeah, and so we get to utilize these things.
Nice.
And they have a bake shop attached to it. Yeah. So it's like our own sourdough, this crab salad is dressed with tonnado that we make, and the cheese foam over the top, which is like a fonduta that we aerate. And then just a bunch of like 1,000 chives and black pepper. And it's like fun and it's huge and it's like really light.
Meg, what's your beef at fine dining?
I'm just tired of it. It's wanky, and, you know.
Like,
it's fucking
What do you consider fine dining? And what, like,
the Georgian room now called the George? I don't know. Like, I don't want to say canless, but canless. I don't know. I went to canless a while ago. My boyfriend he won a gift card, and I grew up two blocks up the street from canless, and I had never been.
Oh no,
it's
shit!
Never in the budget.
Yeah,
and we went, and like, you know, it was like $400+ dollars, and then.
There was
a lot of jerking off. There was just like, right this way, madam. You know, like, better make sure we're wearing a jacket and heels. And I was just like, I'm not getting off. I don't know. It's not my shit. I know there's a market for it. I know there's a lot of tech richies who want to spend their money on that. And often it's people from fucking Kalamazoo who don't have a great fine dining scene. I don't have no idea if Kalamazoo has a fine dining scene. Maybe they do. But you know,
fuck you, Kalamazoo.
It's no shade to Kalamazoo, but fuck you.
Sorry, excuse me. No. Hershey lives in Seattle.
Can you quote Meg on that?
Yeah.
Kids who move here and start working at Amazon and get six figures and are like, hell yeah, I'm going to drop it. Yeah. Feel fancy and feel like an adult.
Let's play video games.
I don't live in Stone and go to Canvas. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I do think there's a market for it, and if they're making money on it, that's great. But it's not for me.
I think it's about, you know, finding the right balance of pretension.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's. I use that in like the best way.
Yeah.
Like, the restaurant I worked at in San Francisco was 1-star Michelin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
which one again?
It's called Sons and Daughters.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's. I think it's like that place is the perfect balance of pretension.
They're closed on a weird day because I tried to go there when I was there, and.
Yeah, Monday, they're closed. I don't know what day
it is. Monday, Tuesday, when I was
there.
Sorry.
Monday's not a weird day to be closed, by the way.
No, I think it was a Wednesday, because I was there on a Wednesday. Sorry, go ahead.
They think that's what we always, when I was there, like that was a lot of the discussions, is like what's the right amount of pretension to make people feel special and like cared for, but not like over the top.
Right. It's okay to do that. You know what I mean? Like, not everything needs to be for me.
I love the other.
It's for other people.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's what I'll say. Like, I love Canlis. I love that line of where I don't feel like I'm a poker player. I feel like I'm very good at knowing when someone's like bullshitting me. And yes. I think I don't get that, Canlis. I feel like if I talk to them outside and like talk to them inside, they're the same person that they're
super
excited.
Sincere. Yeah.
They're very excited about what they're doing. I love them. I go to the bar. If I'm sure
I love the bar. The bar is the secret best weapon. Yeah.
And I love what they're doing. And I would say I was kind of
and the rooftop fire pit.
I was in your position. Because I've been broke for winter sun.
I'm also broke.
And
way.
So I don't,
I don't make $100,000 or however much you think food writers make.
But,
I have a day job that doesn't fucking pay very well.
But so like this summer when I was making a good amount of money, we went out to a lot of fine dining things, and you know, in the winter I can't afford it. But what really kicked me up was watching that episode from The Bear, The Forks. I've probably watched The Bear 6 or 7 times in the last couple of weeks just to catch everything, to put everything we can to this dinner. And Dave, you've seen the episode Forks, obviously.
Yeah.
And I teared up a couple times. Like, it really brought me back to like when I was like stagiaire at Mistar restaurants, like why I got into it. And, you know, it's funny. My girlfriend's starting to work for me at the kitchen, and I go, honey, I want you to watch this episode because it's really important to me because it really is about service. Like, I do like being humble. I do like talking shit. I do love where I'm at with Kutu, that I can do whatever I want. But it really is about service. Like, I love serving people. I love people having people love my food. I think that translates in fine dining or a fucking food cart. Yeah. But
good time. Agreed.
I don't know. So it's I get it. Like, I understand what you're saying, but like, I love the once a month or once a 2 months when I can go afford that and go see the theater and go see the play, you know? And feel good. Like, it's you know, yeah.
It is for you.
It is for me.
Big time.
That's great.
Yeah.
I actually had a nightmare about Canlis this week. Because for me, it's more of the, because kind of like an evolution. Like, as a teenager in the restaurant business, I was, you know, bussing in fine dining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then
Where are you from, Dave, by the way?
My dad had a catering business on Catalina Island.
Oh, really?
And his best friend opened some restaurants in L.A., Lake Arrowhead, and Catalina. And then I also worked in the restaurants on the beaches of Florida.
Okay.
And
that's cool.
So
yeah, way cool.
So at an early age, I was cutting the worms out of swordfish and peeling prawns and shit like that. Damn. But so to me, it's kind of an evolution. Like when I go to a place like that now, and I think about kind of what fine dining was coming up, it's changed so much. Mm-hmm. So anyway, my dream was I was a line cook at Canlis, and I was standing at the front doors going, I haven't done this in a long time. Like, what the fuck did I get myself into? But yeah, I never entered the building, but I stood in front of the door stressing out about my first day at work for quite a while.
Yeah. I would love to. We did a commercial for The Bear. I don't know if you saw that, but it was just this dumb idea we had where.
Oh, dude, that was great, man.
It turned out pretty well.
It's adorable.
Who
was that, a real article that Heather was reading?
That one. Yeah. So yeah, there's some Easter eggs in it. So we decided to kind of make a commercial based on the second last episode, that kind of stressful one. But instead of like, you know, selling food, we're talking about trying to figure out the theme of the next pop-up. And keep in mind, none of us are actors. And here's the best part. We had the Dreamland Kitchen for 20 minutes. So we never ran through it. I wrote a script the day, like a couple days before. I sent it to him, and we did it in 3 takes. It's you know, it's famous for being a one shot thing. My man Jim Langer, I want to plug him. He did the video as a homie and did a great job. So like, yeah, the acting's like, you know, a bunch of chefs acting, but like the quality of the video is fucking amazing. And he put so much time and heart and love into editing it because he was a fan of that episode of just the filmmaking of it. So thank you, Jim, for doing that. But yeah, so I got to, you know, we're acting like we're working on a line. I post something like, you know, working the line again. And even Josh Henderson messaged me like, I'm just kidding. I can't work in line anymore. And then Josh was like, yeah, me either. But like, I don't know if I could do it. Like, I think I would try. Hey, can I come hang out at Seabird one night?
You can do it. You'll be all right. You can do it. You can do it.
Here's something I want to talk about. A fellow food trucker and the owner of Full Tote Ice Cream, Justin Klein, passed away.
Yeah, rest in peace, man.
Yeah, big time.
Fucking,
amazing dude. I would go Full Tote, obviously, all the time, but I knew him from the food truck days, and wonderful person, really sad. And yeah, so our thoughts go out to his family, and thanks for all the great ice cream and food over the years. Oh, I had a great. I went to West Seattle this week and finally got to check out Lady J.
Oh yeah,
Tyler's like they're doing something really cool there.
It's very special. It's so cool.
What it like, is their menu is like it's like $31 for and you get a main and then three sides. And it's just such a cool way to do it. We got a fried bologna sandwich, which fuck, man. It's just a great flavor combination. It's a great cabbage and like mustard and this fried bologna and a great bun. And then we got like some fried Brussels sprouts and mashed potatoes. It's fucking dope. Thank you, Tyler.
That's really awesome. Dope.
Yeah, talk about Americana too. Yeah. I feel like they have such a cool like spin on it. And yep. I feel like especially barbecue, like American barbecue, is like something that we can really plant a flag with. And like with the stuff they got going on is like really cool.
Yeah.
It's like,
I'm still looking forward to going, and I was super jealous when I saw you were there without me.
And me and Tyler had that conversation about barbecue, and like, man, I'm fucking, you know, I've talked about it before, but like, yeah, just go and enjoy it. Don't go looking for like a certain kind of barbecue because that's a stupid thing to do.
Agreed.
No, just like just lighten up.
Oh, I have a barbecue plug. I went to Blind Raven in Georgetown the other day.
I have not even heard of this.
Me either. Georgetown's
called,
my hood.
Yeah, it used to be called Pig Iron. Well, it's a totally different business, but it's in the old Pig Iron space.
Oh yeah,
cool.
It's Texas style. There's a white dude from Texas and a black dude who's like a DJ in Seattle. And they're going to do events, I think. They're going to do like DJ events. They have these ribs that I was really interested in. They looked like not any barbecue ribs I've ever had because they're dry and they're not sauced. The sauce is served on the side. And they've got like garlic on them. I don't know. It didn't look good, but it was fucking good.
Nice.
I'm like, where's all the sauce on my baby back ribs? But
do they say they're a certain kind of barbecue?
I think it's Texas influence. The guy said it was Seattle barbecue because he's like, I've got this influence.
Yeah, it's time.
He's originally from
Northwestern barbecue. Yep.
Originally from Bogota, Colombia. His family's Colombian, but he's lived here for a million years. And yeah, he used to be active in the DJ community in Seattle. I didn't meet the other guy, the Texas guy. Okay. He got like a long white beard.
Dave, sounds like we need
to
go.
It was interesting, and I want to go back and try more stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I want to give a plug real quick. Former guest. I play poker every week, and I introduce my buddy Dante from Dante's. I know you love hot dogs. Sorry, but
I don't hate hot dogs. I just think they're becoming ho cuisine.
But he did something cool where he came and fed everyone for free, and people tried to tip him. He's like, nope. I just want people to tell your friends about my business. So that's what I'm going to do right now. He does catering. And he does a bunch of stuff, weddings and blah, blah, blah. So Dante's Infernal Dogs. He's a Ballard legend. He's been doing it for
sweet.
He's the man. So thanks for the hot dogs. Arashi Ramen last night in Ballard. I fucking love them.
Me and
my girlfriend, we worked all day and didn't eat. And, you know, it's like 7 p.m. And we did that thing where it took us like an hour and a half to figure out what we could finally meet. And when we met at Arashi Ramen, it was perfect. Also, for all the people that think there's no good Mexican in Seattle.
I have a lot to say about that.
Well, actually, I don't even know if this is a chain or not. This might be. Do you know of Alberto's?
It is a huge chain. It's a San Diego chain.
San Diego chain.
They're great, and they're open 24 hours.
24 hours, dude.
I was once shithoused in, I guess, Soto, Georgetown, and I was standing in the drive-thru because I don't have a car because I don't drive. Standing in the drive-thru trying to get a fucking carne asada burrito.
Does it, I mean,
the night, and
standing?
They gave it to me. They let me do it.
No
yeah,
shit.
They let me
that's
pretend
awesome.
To
that's
be a car.
That's
and
a
get
that's
burrito.
A safety thing. But I remember
it was very dangerous. Yeah,
for both of you guys. But I remember when I was on tour, because when you tour, you're in a bus, so usually they don't go through drive-thrus. So like days off or whatever, you know, you don't have a vehicle, and I've done that many times where like I try to get.
They don't like it.
But here's what me and my buddy, former guest, me and my buddy Brady, like 20 years ago on Warped Tour, we got a motorized cooler.
Okay.
And so what we do is we take it out and we literally, I have pictures of it. I will post it. Like we're on a motorized cooler in the Taco Bell drive-thru.
Wonderful.
And they would call it. They let us service.
Alberto's is good.
Good.
I like it.
And
it is a chain, but it's good.
And yeah, like, you know, there's been a lot of comments. You see a lot of comments like, oh, there's no late night in Seattle or whatever. But like me and Ariana were out at like 8:30 on Sunday in Ballard, and there's still restaurants open, but no one's out. So it's a little bit of give and take.
I was
like,
at Hattie's last night at 11:45 eating ribs. So,
And how busy was it?
Not too busy. Yeah. There are people drinking, but I just sat at the bar and ate ribs and mashed potatoes and Brussels. It was good.
Yeah. That sounds pretty good.
It was great.
That sounds pretty good.
I had the leftovers, like, and it was two meals worth. And I'm a big lady. I can eat a lot. And it was still two meals worth of food for $18-$20 or something. And I'm like thinking about it. It's still in the fridge. I'm going to like throw down on those ribs.
Don't sleep
on Hattie's pork ribs, man. They're great.
Is that special or is that just Sundays?
No, it's always. Every day? It was, I think, no, fried chicken is the special on Sundays. Okay. It was just, it's always on the menu. All right. I go to karaoke at Hattie's every week and on Thursday. And so I
now,
get the
now groups, are, you're all going to show up.
Yeah, yeah. They're all going to know where to find
what's,
me.
What's your go-to song?
I've been singing a lot of hair metal lately.
Okay. Nice.
I've been doing Soundgarden.
Cinderella, Nobody's Fool.
No, but I do like to do 18 and Life by Skid Row.
Good one.
I like to do the 80s hair metal. I've been doing Soundgarden a lot. I had a cold for a while and I couldn't sing like a soprano like Chris Cornell would, but I'm getting it back. So
good, good.
Which song?
I like to do Birth Ritual, which was really hard.
Nice.
Wow. It's really hard. I like My Wave also. That one's good.
Yeah, My Wave's a good one.
I like the deep cuts.
Before we get into plugs, any other restaurants you want to talk about that you're a big fan of right now?
Man.
Either of you guys? Or Dave, did you eat anywhere this week?
Yeah.
Yeah, where'd you go? Because you went out a bunch of places.
Yeah, Chris Morgan and I met up to go see Cherry Glazer at
Ariana's pissed at you because she loves Cherry Glazer.
Fucking what an amazing show, man. Yeah. That was so much fun. The crowd was fun. The band was amazing. Yeah, so but before that, I text Jose and I'm like, table for two, motherfucker.
at Spinasse.
Yeah. So we went and ate at Spinasse. They sat us at the bar so we could just stare at Jose the whole time. And it was delicious. But you know, we had a bunch of pasta, stuffed with rabbit and tossed with pork and beef and so many different things and Italian names that I don't remember. And then we went to the show, had a great time. And then, of course, we needed some dessert. We could have walked down the street to Molly Moon's, but decided to go to Lost Lake and get some milkshakes.
Yeah, fuck yeah. So that's cute. Yeah.
That was cool. Yeah. It was a nice little bro date. And then on Thursday night, Paige and I went to Copine.
Just gloss over that.
did the whole course. I mean, it was just. It was really cool, and Sean and Jill took good care of us and sent out some extra stuff. I think my favorite was the foie gras, of course, wrapped in a blueberry jelly. The sturgeon was amazing, and one of his cooks makes he just started distributing a chili crisp.
Okay,
and so Sean made like this ginger ice cream. And put chili crisps on it, and those two flavors go. Chili crisp on ice cream is amazing.
Yo, I'm in.
I'm just daydreaming about foie gras wrapped in a blueberry.
Dude, I looked at Paige. I go, I feel like I just ripped a newborn baby's head off and drank its blood. Like it feels so
that's
good.
It feels good to do that.
Right.
Yeah,
I guess, dude.
That's when I'm at my best.
New podcast name. It's crazy that
it felt wrong, but it felt so good.
Yeah, no, I love doing that. That's why I don't have kids. I had them. But
I can't wait to see your next article. Meg's three favorite places to drink
baby
blood.
Gotta cut that out.
Anywhere else for you?
Man, what do we got going on? I think. No, go check out Bar Salea. We're gonna try to do a oyster pop up here.
Oh, cool!
Nice. Yeah, nice. Yeah.
I do want to say this. Here's a funny story. I'm so happy shows are starting to come back. January and February were really rough, but now we're gonna get into like more shows and go to concert stuff, which I'm excited about. And I went to a show on Friday. Went and saw an EDM show called Black Tiger Sex Machine. Nice. One of your favorites, right?
Yeah.
You know, had a great time. Recharged my batteries. Watch about like 20 minutes of the show. Like the best thing about these shows, they're just like, going around and talking to people and like having fun. But the thing is, I don't know. I have no idea why this happens. But, like usually 2 days after I go to like an EDM show, I feel really down and sad. I don't know why. Just like, you know.
It's probably the drugs.
That's probably it. Anyway, so here's the thing. Down, dude. I have come to expect this, that like Instagram usually loves my dinners, Facebook doesn't give a fuck, and Reddit hates my dinners. So like Reddit hates everything.
They love
but
it
is so funny.
I don't fuck with Reddit.
It's a you know, it's like anything where it's like, okay, so I went to the Bear subreddit and I posted a picture of like the four of us, like a little ad for the thing. And came down, you know, kind of sad from, you know, not hanging out with my friends and me. Yeah. And man, it was like 50 comments of the worst things you could imagine someone saying to you. Like they're just mad because the aprons didn't match or like it's the wrong color apron or fucking like. It's the thing where it's like, you know, I heard it with Wu-Tang where they're just like, oh, these guys are making money off like, you know, this and they don't see it as like an artistic thing. It was just funny. But
that sucks.
Well, no, I get like it's good to kind of get that feedback, but like at the end of the day, I posted it, got all this hate, but then I immediately also sold 12 tickets. So it's like, you know, people that don't have, you know, they're anonymous. So they're going to say whatever mean thing they can, but there's still people that see it and whatever.
That's true.
So,
that's a good point.
But it was funny. It keeps you in check.
Reddit is so mean to me.
It's
and I'm just not used to it. I'm used to everyone loving me. Reddit is fucking mean as hell. My editor, Megan Steeling, posted just something that I was like, Beth's is back open again.
Yeah.
Beth's Cafe.
Yeah.
And the headline was Beth's is back, baby, because it literally fucking said that on the sign. It said Beth's is back, baby. And they were like, stupid headline. I'm sick of writers phoning in the headline. First of all, we almost never get to write our own headline. It's SEO shit, right? Like, they never take my headline. But even if I had written that headline, like, it's literally on the fucking sign in the picture. And someone, like, very gently pointed this out to the person who was like, fuck this bitch and her stupid headline.
Jeez. Okay.
Why? So, like, why? I'm just saying this fucking reopened. Aren't you glad? Yeah. I didn't write it.
It's wild. Like, I had a lot of people saying, like, just talking shit about my septum piercing for some reason.
Yeah, they're looking for anything.
And then what's crazy is, like, some people are like, oh, I went to this guy's Instagram. And, like, they're just, like, talking about, it's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, before we get out of here.
Oh, I have plugs.
Yeah.
Let's do it. I'm to Family Friend, which is in Deacon. Have you guys been?
Have not, but I heard they have a great burger.
The dudes from, they do, actually. The Kewpie burger.
Did you have
lots
the fried chicken?
Beets. No, I did not. I had the
hot dog.
They do have it, though. I didn't have a hot dog either. I had the corn chicken soup with chicken thighs and corn and coconut. It was kind of Tom Kha adjacent. Yeah. It was
that
very
good.
I didn't get the bok choy Filipino ramen that has pig organ meats in it because I don't fucking do organ meats, embarrassingly. But that's the hot thing, is the bok choy ramen. I went with Harry Cheadle, who you know, and Mark DeJoy, who also writes for Eater. What else did we get? I wrote it all down, and now I don't have time to remember. It was lovely. Oh, I got a beautiful cocktail, which you guys don't care about. That had coconut gin and Coqui di Torino, sweet vermouth, and scallion oil. So it was like coconutty and fruity and also oniony.
I'd love to try an NA version of that. That sounds
great.
Very interesting.
For sure. What else did we eat? We ate a red rice bowl. I don't know. I thought everything was like fancy but casual, right? And people were just sitting. It wasn't fine. No. And also, it looks like it's in a dentist's office. Like, you would never know there's a restaurant in there. You would think, like, I walked by a cafe. I'm like, it must be this cafe and not the, like, completely white building with no sign whatsoever. And then I walked in and it was like, there's sports on the TV. It was not too fancy. I think everything, price points around 20 to 25.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Cool.
I liked
everything
there.
Dave, what's up?
Oh,
what's
shit,
going on at the Buckshot?
How's Buckshot?
Buckshot's good. I got a girl coming back from college to work this weekend, so I'll have a little extra front of house. I'm making some new hires. I'm trying to take Buckshot to the next level and spend more time out by the smoker cooking.
Yeah.
So after this, I'm gonna go walk around Preservation Meats and get some ideas. I want to do since I have some extra front of house help, I'm looking to do a nice special this weekend.
Oh, cool.
So. Yeah, the weather's been pretty crazy. You know, one second it'll be snowing, next second it'll be beautiful and sunny. And there's been a lot of kids sports in the area. And congratulations to Mount Si basketball team. They won state champs.
Fuck yeah. I won a lot of money on that game.
Cool. but yeah, so we've had a lot of family and kids.
Yeah.
Like, man, family sports is nuts these days. Like, I'm like, hey, how's your day going? And they're like, well, we just had one game in Olympia. Now we have another game here. And if they win this game, we got to go play like somewhere else. I'm like, that's insane. Have some brisket. March is kind of when numbers start going up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm happy.
You promise?
Well,
you fucking promise?
That's what the years I've been open say.
Yeah.
On the charts.
I know.
So I feel like we got the worst of winter behind us, and I'm high stepping into spring.
High stepping into spring.
Yeah.
That's the podcast.
That's a good one.
Alex Jackson, what do you got to plug? Of course, your restaurant. When are you open?
Yeah. I don't really know the timeline. I think we're looking to probably the end of this month. Bar Soleil is going to reopen.
Yeah, cool. Yep.
Great.
And where's that again?
That's downtown.
And I'm sorry, will you be involved in both things or?
I'll just be going to Bar Soleil
for
now.
Yeah.
We're just going to see how it goes. Brendan's looking to.
So you have to commute to downtown instead of Bainbridge.
Yeah, that'll be a little. It'll be nice.
And sorry. So opening,
I think the end of this month.
Cool. And what's the menu like again?
We're gonna be doing it's like seabird
hot dogs and
fried chicken. Yeah.
Like Madison or something. Like
yeah, I was just like I just totally blanked on it. It's like right
I know where it is. I can see it.
Super near
brain.
The ferry terminal over there.
Yeah, I know where it is.
Okay, cool. And I'm sorry. So seriously, what's the menu gonna be like?
It's gonna be Oyster Bar.
Oyster Bar.
Yeah, cool. Like think like Seabird Light.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool. Love it.
Like think a little more playful, probably a little smaller.
And how many seats?
Barcelé is huge, okay. So we're trying to map that all out. I think it's gonna be like counter service, super cash.
So okay,
me and another person.
What's a good reason to go there? Is it what?
Because like, you're gonna hang out with me.
Yeah,
I'm gonna show you some oysters.
Before going to sports, like it's downtown.
Yep, downtown, okay, really near the stadiums.
Cool.
Yeah, hit really near the ferry. Yeah. Yep.
What's the cocktail list like? Is the resident drunk? Is it?
It's gonna be
good.
our beverage director is gonna be in charge of it, and he's
you're like I don't
he's
know.
A boozy dude. He's
great.
A boozy guy.
That's what I like to hear.
I can't wait to do our sober episode.
Also, Sepan up the street has a gorgeous, gorgeous cocktail menu. The beverage director is Dakota Etley, who comes from Rumba, and it's
cool,
gorgeous, interesting Southeast Asian flavors as well as just your standards. Really interesting, creative craft cocktails. Sepan. Sepan, ladies and gentlemen, Sepan.
So I think last week I posted on my Kutu Instagram, like, hey, because I've been doing the same menu for like 2 years. I'm sick of it. But, like, you know, whenever I change it, I kind of get some feedback, whatever. And so I posted on Instagram. I was like, hey, guys, do you like to see a new Kutu menu or do you want to keep with the classics? And it was literally 50-50. It was like 100 votes, like 50-50.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do starting pretty soon is I'm going to rotate one of the things. So it'll be two of the same items and one special. And all week I've been writing down a bunch of menu items.
Cool.
And it's not going to be Sri Lankan at all. Or not Sri Lankan. Like, it's going to be kind of influenced from a lot of different things. I'm going to do some kind of weird meatball things. I'm going to do a calamari one. I might do a turkey pot pie one. You were the first person to write about Kutu.
I like food carts in general.
Yeah.
That's my shit. And, you know, counters and gas stations and pop-ups and stuff.
So. And because you've been to Sri Lanka, right?
No, I have not.
What, didn't you have a connection to Kutu or something like that? No?
Not me.
Not you?
Someone else.
I'm so good at this.
You cut that part.
Anyway, yeah. So,
I like
so,
it though.
Yeah, looking for some new, looking for some new menu items. So look out for that soon. Very excited about the summer. It's gonna be a busy one. Forget out here. Just want to say, I talked about a lot about the mean sandwich jacket and how much I loved it. And then Dan stopped by after the podcast and dropped me off a jacket. So thank you, Dan.
Dang,
fucking,
so nice.
He's awesome. All right, guys. Thank you so much for
joining
us today.
Read the New York Times article.
Yeah, we'll talk about it next week. Got
Sounds
a lot of
expensive.
Interesting stuff. All right, guys. It's been a lot of
Sid
fun.
Will give you a dollar.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us on
the
Seattle
restaurant
podcast. Yay.
Yay.